following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast. We're breaking news. New Kentucky basketball coach. Who will it be? We'll tell you in just a moment. We're also talking Coach Cal headed to Arkansas. Major League Baseball surprises and fantasy NASCAR picks. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up in
me? Welcome in to an all-new Thursday edition of the Sports Stove Podcast, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Join the flavor revolution at righteousfelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. A day late and a dollar short, they always say. Well, yesterday, schedules conflicted, so we pushed the show to today. And, Dad, I am so glad that we did. I'm your host, Vince Stover, joined by my dad, Dale Stover. Dad, I got a message earlier today at 5:27 p.m. from a source telling me that Kentucky is going to name their new head basketball coach at a press conference on Wednesday. And I was told it is indeed an NBA coach taking the job. That would lead me to assume it's Billy Donovan, the Chicago Bulls head coach, who Kentucky has tried to land time and time and time again and have failed to do so. But it appears they are on the verge of possibly accomplishing that feat. Could it be someone else? I assume it could be. But that's the information that I was given. Do I believe it? I say, well, there's a 50% chance. That being said, that's what the source said. So that's what we're going with. Dad, welcome into the show here on a Thursday night. Your thoughts on this latest information that we've received?
Well, that would be, like I said, it seems like it would be a very good hire, no doubt about that. It makes sense if they've tried, to get in before, or even getting an NBA coach, would probably make some sense there. There's been a lot of, or I've heard speculation, that maybe the Kentucky job has lost a little bit of its luster or whatever, but I think Kentucky basketball will be just fine. They'll get a coach and rebound, and obviously people, Kentucky fans, everywhere I go, you see Kentucky's, license plates, Kentucky stuff on cars. You see it up here in Ohio. You see it all over. So, Kentucky fan base is huge. And, I it'd be good for them to get a coach here, I think, quickly and, be able to get things moving in that direction.
Yeah. Anybody who thinks Kentucky, the job, has lost its luster does not remember the Billy Gillespie years. That's when it lost its luster. But it has not lost its luster, I don't think, now. The reason why they're saying that is, well, Dan Hurley turned down the job. Well, yeah, he just won two straight NCAA tournament championships. Why would he leave? They say, well, Scott Drew turned down the job. Well, yeah, his family didn't want to come. He's got two high school boys that are getting ready to finish up in Texas. They like where they're at. The wife is very happy in Waco, Texas. And they chose not to come to an environment that is pretty harsh, very harsh if you're not winning games. I don't blame him for that either. He's in a good spot. He gets paid well, all that kind of stuff as well. Now, if we get down to, names that you've never heard before, well, then we can argue that then. But right now, we're still talking about top-tier names. And again, our source says that Wednesday will be the official introductory press conference, which means it'll obviously be announced before then, but we'll see. I was thinking through another name because he did not tell me it's Billy Donovan. He just said it's an NBA coach, and I was looking through the NBA coaches. There's not a whole lot that would make sense to me. I mean, any of them, I guess, would be good. That being said, Dwayne Casey, who's not currently coaching, he's an advisor for the Detroit Pistons. He is a Kentucky alum, and we've seen his name in past coaching searches come up. We've not seen it come up this year, so I'd be a little surprised if it's him. But it does appear that that we're getting close. Well, we knew we were getting close. They're going to make this hire as soon as they can. And, of course, the question is, the NBA play-in games start on the 16th, I believe. And so could they announce it if it's Billy Donovan before he's eliminated? I mean, I don't see why not. I'm not sure how that works. Can he finish out the season with the Bulls and then come over and they go ahead and announce it now? I'm not sure about that. But nonetheless, that's what we're told. We'll see what happens. But, of course, this all comes to fruition because John Calipari announced he didn't announce it. The news broke earlier this week that he was leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. And I did not see any Kentucky fan, and I live in Lexington, did not see any Kentucky fan who was sad that John Calipari was leaving. Now, they are thankful. They are excited for the championship that they got, for the players that have come through and all that kind of stuff. But the reality was John Calipari was not winning here at Kentucky anymore. He was not even getting close to winning a national championship over the last 5 to 6 years. And when you fail to make the tournament twice in a stay here, when you get eliminated in the first round or the second round, it just doesn't sit well. And it seemed like Calipari's coaching flaws were just getting exposed year after year after year. So he leaves, and the program is in question to a degree. But overall, I think everybody thought this is the right time for him to leave. But Arkansas, what an interesting selection for John Calipari. He had a picture of Nolan Richardson in his office, and him as well with Nolan Richardson. But nonetheless, Calipari's in Arkansas now, Dad. Do you like that fit for Arkansas and John Calipari?
I think it's good, definitely, for Calipari. I think it'll be good for Arkansas. You know, Arkansas has a great fan base. Years ago, and I knew folks who were big Arkansas fans, and I think, and I remember back in the days of, Moncrief and all those guys, Brewer, Delph playing, it was quite a team. And of course, they've had other great players too, Williamson and others. But I think they have a lot of tradition. I think it's a good opportunity for him. You know, he'll have a very excited fan base. I think he'll be able to recruit there again, especially right now, and with the NIL, Arkansas will be able to provide what's needed for that. And it'll definitely energize them. It was interesting, I've listened to you for the last few years about Calipari, and a little bit of what I heard today was, I saw something, a clip where he said, his goal was to win a championship, and that's why he came there. And I know you felt like, and I've heard several sports people say that, he was more about developing talent maybe than winning a championship. But it'd be interesting to see if he's kind of changed on that going to Arkansas, or if it will kind of be the same, same type of thing. Of course, the one and done is not quite what it was a few years ago. So it's all a little bit different there. And the excitement in Arkansas basketball, excitement in the SEC. Obviously, every Kentucky or Arkansas game will be exciting for a while here. And, it's probably good for SEC basketball.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty open that his priority in Lexington was not to win a championship. He was pretty clear on that. His priority was the players, getting them to the NBA and getting them paid. That was clearly his priority in Lexington. He said that, and he did that. He got a lot of players to the NBA and a lot of players paid. But what he didn't do was what he was paid to do, and he was paid to win championships. Now he goes to Arkansas. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how that works there. Musselman did pretty good at Arkansas. Calipari will definitely bring in talent. And the biggest question mark for Calipari is his assistant coaches, because Calipari, as great as a recruiter as he is and as much success as he's had in college basketball, he's just not a good coach. And he struggles with X's and O's. He struggles with practicing in a way that prepares his players to win basketball games. Now, he won a lot of regular season basketball games, but again, SEC tournaments and NCAA tournaments, he fell short more often than not. So can he make adjustments at Arkansas? Will he change who he's going for? He's going to still try to land top recruits, of course, But will he maybe make an effort to go out and get guys, you know, that will stick around for a couple of years? I don't know that he will. And I don't know that he'll win a championship at Arkansas, but we'll see. He's the reason. I mean, he's it. He was the reason Kentucky succeeded when they did and failed when they did. And he'll be the reason Arkansas succeeds or fails as well. But really, I don't think anybody in Lexington, I don't think Kentucky fans have a hard feelings towards Calipari. I think they legitimately just knew it was time to move on. And they're happy he saved the university $33 million by leaving himself versus having to get fired. So overall, I think people are excited to see what's next. And I'm intrigued to see when the announcement comes down from the university and when we find out for sure if our source is correct and it's Billy Donovan or if there's another guy out there as well. Well, Dad, all that to say, college basketball is done. UConn, dominant throughout the tournament, a really good season this year as well. Purdue had a good season too. I think we had the two best teams in the nation playing for the title, but UConn clearly the best team again this year. Any thoughts on how it ended for UConn?
No, like I said, they dominated and definitely, you know, on their tournament run, no doubt about that. So, like I said, I agree with you. I think it might have been the two best teams that made it to the championship there. It was an exciting tournament. There was upsets as time went along. You know, NC State was a great story. You know, we saw a lot of good basketball. But in the final analysis, you know, nobody could play with Connecticut through their tournament run. So they're dominant, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, they got their one shining moment, and we now sneak away into the offseason to see these coaching changes. Like we mentioned, Musselman, he went from Arkansas to USC, which I was really surprised about. Calipari fills his spot at Arkansas. We'll see some other teams move around as well. Girls teams as well, moving coaches. There's a lot of things happening now. And the transfer portal, of course, in full effect as well. All right, let's transition over to Major League Baseball. And today has to be one of the wackiest Major League Baseball days we've had in a while. The Oakland / Sacramento / Las Vegas Athletics beat the defending champions today 1-0 over the Texas Rangers. Then the Royals beat the Astros 13-3. Then the Mets beat the Braves 16-4. I don't know what's going on today, Dad, but Major League Baseball is broken, and I guess I'm okay if it does not get fixed. A lot of interesting things going on already this season. We'll start out in the American League West, where the Oakland Athletics are two games back from first place in the division. Texas leads the way, followed by the Angels and the A's and the Mariners, and in lowly last place, the Houston Astros. Dad, we saw the Astros start slow last year. They finished strong. Do we expect Houston to find their footing here soon and start to play like we expected them to?
Well, I would think so. I mean, again, it's awful early in the season to write off a team like Houston. And some of the other teams that I probably thought we would start writing off are the ones that are challenging now. So maybe it'll be a great – for me, more parity in baseball would be good. No doubt about that, if more teams could stay in it. But by All-Star break, that probably will not be the case. But I would think the Astros will definitely rebound, you know, to some extent. I would expect that.
All right, so if you had to put money on this, and I know you don't gamble, we don't gamble, but if you had to put money on it, who has the best record at the end of the year, the Astros, the Angels, or the A's?
I would think the Astros will have the better record of those three teams.
Yeah, you thought a lot harder on that than I thought you were going to. The Astros will. I will say that. The Astros, listen, they're beat up right now. They do have some pitching injuries and things like that. But the A's and the Angels, they're not going to last. Now, granted, the Angels are 6-6. It's not like they're great. They're 500. They're better than we expected them to be. The Angels are are 5-8. Again, that's not spectacular. They're just really close to the top of the division The Houston Astros are 4-10. They will finish better than the Angels and the A's. I would be willing to put money on that. In the American League Central, Dad, the expectation was that the Tigers could be better. The Twins should be competitive. Cleveland should be the best. And Kansas City, well, they're probably going to be bad again. Well, Kansas City's 9-4, Dad. They're a half game back from Cleveland. And they looked really good today, beating up on the Astros. And I like Kansas City. I've kind of gotten behind this team a little bit. They got a lot of young talent. They've got interesting pitchers. And to me, they're just entertaining. I like what Kansas City's doing. I think the Central's weak. Cleveland, they lost their starting pitcher for the year, Shane Bieber. And so I don't know that how long they'll be able to maintain as well. I like what Kansas City's doing, and I think they are a legit threat in the American League Central this year. Do you like the Guardians, the Royals, or the Tigers in the Central?
I think the Guardians from there, but again, it'd be nice if it's a good race, especially if Kansas City can stay in it. I think Detroit's going to stay in the hunt. They should. And Minnesota should rebound a little bit too. But, you know, the White Sox, not so much. But otherwise, I think, you know, could be four teams back and forth here as the season goes on. But Cleveland's got a really good team.
Yeah, the White Sox closer, Michael Kopech, he struck out a guy at 101 miles an hour, struck out the next guy at 102 and or 101, and then the last guy at 102 miles an hour. So they got something in the White Sox, but yeah, they're not going to be any good this year. American League East, it looks like the Yankees are back, dominant, 10-3 to start the year. I still like the Orioles. They're 7-4. They've got all kinds of young talent. They've got more to bring up if they want to. But to me, Toronto, Tampa, and Boston, even though Tampa and Boston have been okay, I think this is a two-horse race in the East between Baltimore and New York.
Yes, I think that will be the case. It will be interesting to see if Boston stays competitive. And, of course, Tampa Bay, you never know if you can count them out or not. But it looks like, yeah, the Yankees and the Orioles should be the top two teams there. But, again, to me, it's awfully early to know that for sure.
Yeah, I'm out on Tampa. Was out at them before the season started. I think they're finally going to take their tumble. National League West, your San Francisco Giants don't look good. The Dodgers, they look solid at 10-5. San Diego and Arizona are trying to hang around as well. I think the Dodgers are the clear-cut favorites in the National League West.
Yes, I think they are. The Giants are going to rebound, but they have struggled starting out here. But, the Dodgers are definitely the class of that division. We will see how everything goes. You know, I think Ohtani's had a good start. It was funny when we were talking about the American League West, wonder what it would be like if he was still at the Angels. But he's not, so we can't say that.
You can argue they'd be worse because they weren't definitely not better when he was there. I will say this about Arizona, and they were my World Series pick this year also. They need to get healthy. And when they get healthy, I think they're going to be dangerous. And where they need to get healthy at, Dad, is with the pitchers. What they've got going on in the rotation, Zach Gallen has been good. Kelly has been good. Fott has been good, but they've got Jordan Montgomery, who will pitch middle of the month for the first. He was a late signee, and by the way, he changed agents after Scott Boras didn't get him paid. But he'll should show up here pretty soon. And they also signed Eduardo Rodriguez in the offseason. He got injured in the spring, has not pitched yet. So if Montgomery and Rodriguez come in, all of a sudden they've got a four-headed monster in the rotation, and they'll be really dangerous, but they do need to get healthy first. In the National League Central, Dad, it's Pittsburgh, 9-3. My cohort on Sunday nights, Kevin Wilson, thought that they could be competitive this year, and they sure look that way so far. They've got some young guys they can call up too. Milwaukee's right there with them at 8-3, Chicago at 7-5, and Cincinnati, I don't know, 6-6. They should be better than that. They're not. And St. Louis looks bad again this year, too. Is Pittsburgh going to win this division, or will somebody else wake up and take over?
I it'd be great if Pittsburgh did well this year, and it looks like, you know, I think they have a good amount of talent. So we'll see. They should stay in the hunt. The Brewers have probably overachieved a little bit from what some people thought, you know, before the season was concerned. And, you know, we'll just see where the Reds, the Cubs, and the Cardinals come out here. So, again, you know, it'll take a little while for that to shake out, I think. You know, the Cardinals are getting Sonny Gray back, which will help a little bit with the pitching. He had a good outing this past week, his first outing back, and that will help a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, the Brewers put up 24 runs against the Reds this weekend in three games. And the Reds put up 17 runs, for what it's worth. But the Brewers, listen, I said it, if you listen at the beginning of the year, they've got the offense. The question will be pitching. If they can get pitching, they'll be okay. And so I still believe that with the Brewers. And, of course, I'm a Brewers fan, so I'm a little biased. The Reds, on the other hand, Dad, I told everyone that Reds fans are going to be disappointed again. That's just what the Reds do. They've got talented players. They've got good players. They've got fantasy-relevant players. But they just, there's something missing in Cincinnati. And what I've seen of them so far this year, Dad, does not make me believe or have any confidence that the Reds can make a legit run for the Central. And St. Louis, they look like the worst team in the division, which is sad for St. Louis fans, but great for the rest of the world. How are things feeling up there in Ohio with the Reds right now?
Well, again, I think the feeling up here is it's early in the year. There's a lot of talent, so I don't think anybody's throwing up the white flag at this point.
Well, they should. The National League East is Atlanta up a game and a half on Philly. Philly 6-6. The Mets look bad. Washington looks bad. Miami looks horrendous. So, again, another conference, another division where you got a two-team race, really. Will Philadelphia continue to underachieve in the regular season, or will they start to play good baseball in the regular season as well as the postseason?
Again, I think the Braves are obviously the team there, but I think the Phillies are going to play well. I think they're going to rebound from there. And I know you talked before the season that the Nationals not necessarily going to be good, but could be improved this year. And I think maybe that there, you know, there's a possibility of that, but I don't think they'll be in the hunt. I think, you know, you are talking a two-team race with the Braves and the Phillies.
All right. Well, baseball continues to be exciting. Jackson Holliday gets called up yesterday, played his first game and debuted in Major League Baseball at 20 years old. There's young guys in the league right now that are having a lot of fun, doing a lot of good things. And I will tell you, I watched that Orioles game yesterday just to see Jackson Holliday play. And I think that kind of young talent that's in the league right now will only be good for Major League Baseball as long as they don't find a way to ruin it. So we'll see how that goes. Transitioning to football, Dad, O.J. Simpson passed away today at the age of 76. We were talking before we came on live. I have heard about O.J. Simpson's football career. I wasn't alive to watch it. And all I know about O.J. Simpson is all the stuff that everyone knows about, whether it be, trials or stealing things or whatever it may be. What I know of O.J. Simpson is not what the sports fan knows of O.J. Simpson. So just tell us who O.J. Simpson was as a football player and how good was he really in his peak.
Well, as a football player, he was tremendous in college at USC, no doubt about that. And when he came in at Buffalo, they had good teams there. He was one of the main running backs. It's sad the way it's ended because in his day, a lot of young players, I've heard Reggie White, I think I read where he said O.J. Simpson was one of the first guys he really, was excited about from there and looked up to. So, of course, that, is not the way things ended up at all. But as a football player, he was great. He was a great running back. But again, at this point, that you just don't talk about that much because, you have to look at how things ended up. And he obviously made a lot of mistakes And but as an athlete and a football player, he was at the top of the game, I think, coming out of college and even while he was running back there at Buffalo. You know, very, very popular. Of course, he had a nickname, the Juice. Like I told you before we came on, you know, the offensive line was called the Electric Company because they turned on the juice, and a lot of excitement about him.
A good nickname goes a long, long way, for sure. So it helps in a lot of different areas, no doubt about that. Let's see here. I don't think there's anything else football-wise I want to talk about tonight. Of course, the draft is coming up soon. I'm hoping to get out my mock draft 2.0 tomorrow on bellyupsports.com. I'm hoping to have time to get that completed and up. And then we will do a draft show leading up to the NFL draft coming up in just a couple weeks as well. I'll have my mock 3.0 out for that show, and Dad will come in too and give his mock too. So lots of NFL draft stuff coming up. Still waiting on those trades, Dad, at the top of the draft right now to see if someone's going to move up to number three. Will Minnesota come up and get a quarterback? Will the Giants draft a quarterback at their pick? You know, Denver, what are they going to do? There's a lot of talk right now about that, the quarterbacks, especially in the draft there.
For Packer fans, a little bit of big news. Kind of knew this was coming, but they're going to open up the season in Brazil. And that was kind of big news there, even though it was kind of leaked a few days before. So, you know, a lot of excitement there. I'm sure we'll be making our plans to be able to do the podcast over in São Paulo in the fall.
Yes, I'm sure that we are going to try everything in our power to have a live show live from Brazil and Green. I mean, you being an owner of the Packers, it only makes sense that we go down there to Brazil. Shout out to the Nashville Predators. You're wearing the shirt today. They clinched a playoff spot. It's all I know about hockey is that the Predators clinched the playoff spot. Do you want to share? We'll give you 30 seconds. Anything on hockey you want to share?
Well, again, you know, it's exciting for the Predators having a new coach and a new general manager. There were not high expectations. Even when they started to get on their winning streak, I heard people that reported about the Predators saying, you know, they're not a playoff team. They just need to build for next year. And, of course, Barry Trotz, the general manager, very popular, of course, there in Nashville, said the team made a strong statement to him in their winning streak. So he went out at the deadline and picked up a couple players that have been starters that have really helped them. I don't know how big a run they can make, but the fact that they made the playoffs definitely is going to be good for the future. And they could be a surprise. They've been a hot team. So we'll see. When we have podcast next week, we'll know the schedule and know exactly who they're playing. It looks like it'll either be Dallas or Vancouver. But which one, you know, we'll see whether they end up as the first or second wild card.
All right. I think that was 35 seconds, but that's okay. We'll let it go. All right. We are going to, head into our final segment of the show today, Dan. We usually bring on a guest for this. We do not have a guest tonight. They all said no to me. Actually, they were all busy, so they could not make it. So Dad's going to stick around. This is a segment we like to call the Sports Stove Final Lap. All right. So each week we come on here, end the show with fantasy picks for NASCAR. As I've dove back into the world of NASCAR, Dad has joined along. Actually, my oldest son as well in the fantasy NASCAR. We've got several people in that league and are having a good time competing against that. Were you able to catch any of Martinsville this past week?
A little bit of it. You know, I kept up with what was going on, was able to watch just a little bit of it. And, like I said, you know, kept up on everything. And then the NASCAR Fantasy League is really great. It, you know, it helps me keep up, just like really baseball and football. You know, you get more involved when you're, but for me, it's kind of re-energized, and it's been a re-education, because I wasn't that familiar with the different teams. Knew that, you know, the different manufacturers, Toyota, Chevrolet, and Ford, but the, you know, they all have different teams. And so I'm kind of getting caught up on that a little bit, and, you know, have really enjoyed the fantasy part of it. And I've even done halfway decent so far. So we'll see if we can stay in it. It's a little tricky because you can't use all the drivers all the time. And it looks like there's two or three guys that are going to be dominant every race, and you can't use them every race. So you have to think that through. But it looks like a lot of excitement for the NASCAR season. And I would think it's doing very well with fans and following.
Yeah, I mean, Martinsville was boring and wasn't great, but having fantasy, it adds excitement. It holds the fan a little bit more, because even though you can tell no one's passing, you get to see where your guys are in the race and things like that. They do go to Texas this week, a mile and a half track, and change it up a little bit from the last 2 weeks being at the short tracks. And it's going to be fun. I think, Texas is not known as a super exciting race. It's not a track that garners a lot of typically jubilation from the fans coming into it. That being said, I think everybody's just excited to see something different than what they saw last week, and we'll see if NASCAR can give that to us. So we come into our fantasy picks, and the fantasy NASCAR, you get five drivers, and then you get one guy that you can put in the garage that you can sub in anytime before the end of the second segment, our stage break. So, Dad, do you have your five, or do you have guys that you would say if someone's trying to figure out that you think, hey, these guys can be worth putting into your lineup this week?
I haven't picked my five yet, because I was hoping you would have a guest on tonight. I always like to hear what they have to say. And I do have a podcast usually I listen to on Friday, and I like to set it ahead of time, and then I can change it, you know, after qualifying, which is on Saturday. But at this point, I haven't had a lot of time to look, since it is a different type of track, a different type of race. I need to look, you know, a little bit more at that. I did look a little bit today. They were at a thing where there was racing odds, and saw a little bit, you know, of who they recommended there. But, you know, probably I'll rely more on qualifying this time, because, again, I've got to use some guys that I haven't used a lot yet. But I may bring a couple back that, you know, that I have some use to them. So we will see. This is, you know, being the mile and a half track, and there will be, I guess, several of these coming up. Be able to kind of get in a flow again. I kind of learned a little bit about short track and who was good at that. So we'll see. It does look like Ford has rebounded a little bit. We'll see if they do that. Still do well this week. Of course, Chevrolet was dominant last week, and Toyota's been good in most of the races. So, you know, we'll see. I like to spread out the manufacturers if I can, and at least have one from each one, and then just go from there.
And we'll shout out Josh King at the Stage Break Podcast. Is the podcast you were talking about on Fridays that you listen to. And yes, we did invite Josh to come on the show tonight. He had family obligations and could not come on tonight. We'll try to get him on again down the road. And then Chris Prince is the guy that we get on. Caleb McChesney's been on as well. That they're from Belly Up Sports as well. I've kind of gotten to the point where I need to make big points. I got behind in our league a little bit, so I'm trying to keep, you know, go-to guys kind of in the lineup. I've got Truex and Ty Gibbs as two Toyota drivers in my lineup this week. William Byron and Ross Chastain are two Chevy drivers I've got in. I've got Brad Keselowski currently in with Christopher Bell in my garage. I've not used Brad Keselowski yet this year, and he's had moments where he's looked like he could do good and then falls off or different things happen. Eventually, he's going to get things right. So, I've got Keselowski in there, hoping to use him this week and not have to pull him out. Like you said, I like to try to use a variety of manufacturers. And I think there's enough opportunity to use top end guys versus having to go very low out on your guys. I think guys like Tyler Reddick, of course, would be a fair pick. Bubba Wallace, any of your top guys, your Ryan Blaney's, William Byron, Kyle Larson's, those guys obviously are good picks. But again, if you're trying to survive the season, you can't put them all in every single week as well. So, you know, any of your top guys are always safe. And it's trying to find guys like Ross Chastain, in my opinion, Brad Keselowski, who haven't won yet this year, but are guys that can win and run well here. And I'll do the same thing. I'll look at after qualifying and maybe make a change. If one of those guys is, you know, did really bad in qualifying, then I might pull him out and bless me, put somebody else in their place as well. So that's kind of my thoughts on it this week. I'm in no way a professional when it comes to NASCAR, but I think that's the direction I'm going to go. Let me pull up that league that we've got, and now I can't find it. There it is. So right now, Chris Prince from Belly Up Sports is first place in our league, followed by I just lost his name. I think it's Ben Schrotz, he has his name. Finishing third was better than last, because he finished third in most of the season to get us started and everything there. But he's a listener and joined the program. And I apologize if I said your name wrong, as now I just slipped my mind. Anyways, that being said, he's in second place. Dad, you're in third, and I'm in fourth right now. We've got McChesney's in fifth, right behind me. I mean, he's nipping on my tail. So then we got two newer guys that just came in a couple weeks ago, and they're working their way up as well. So, Dad, any other thoughts on this weekend's NASCAR or anything else NASCAR?
No, like I said, I'm interested in keeping up with it and see as we're switching tracks here. And like I said, I'm definitely not a NASCAR expert. One name I've heard mentioned a lot and I haven't used yet that I've kept an eye on, and I think on the guests you've had on, you guys have talked about Gregson. Noah Gregson, yeah. I think, a Ford driver, and looks like a guy that's been competitive. So, there's several like that, it's just knowing when to use them, that can make a move. So, and of course, there's so much stuff in NASCAR, one wreck takes five guys out and all of a sudden people are moving up. So you never know.
Yeah. And guys like, in my opinion, guys like Noah Gregson are guys that you can have, but you only want one of those guys in your lineup. So that way you can pull someone off the garage if they're not having a good day, because there is some, Stuart Haas, that whole team has had issues. Noah Gregson's a guy he's a good racer. He's just not in the best equipment. And so he's going to have a good day. And I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous to go with guys like Gregson, Josh Berry, that are not on great teams. And they just have to be in the perfect spot. So I don't know. Those guys would scare me in fantasy lineups, but you're doing better than me. You're obviously no more than I do when it comes to picking fantasy NASCAR drivers. So we'll go with you on that one as well. All right. So the plan is next week we talk some more NFL draft. We'll hopefully have a NASCAR guest on. We're planning on doing this again on Wednesday night next week. We'll see how all that shakes down. We also plan to have the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show on Sunday. We did one this week. It did not make it to YouTube. It is available on the audio version of the podcast. But we'll be back live on YouTube this Sunday doing fantasy baseball. And hopefully on Monday night, we'll be live doing local hour talking EKU sports as well. So we should have a pretty busy week of content coming up here as well. We'll keep you updated on anything that we know when it comes to the Kentucky head coach search. But remember, you heard it here first when you hear the news come out officially later on this week, more than likely. All right, Dad, if you've got nothing else to talk about, I do not. So we're going to close it out. Righteous Felon Jerky, righteousfelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15. Follow us on Instagram, all available for you there. And do us a favor, if you enjoyed the program tonight, throw us a like, subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Help us out. Help a brother out. All right. That's all we got for today. I'm Vince. He's Dale. We're the Stovers, the Sports Stove Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.